right, we're going to use our Bibles a little bit tonight, so I need you ready. Take your Bible, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 19. Deuteronomy chapter 19, and we're going to look at four verses to start. So we're going to keep your fingers licked up or greased up or whatever. And Julianne, that doesn't mean put them in your nose and then turn the pages. They stick a little too much. Camden said it just sticks too much. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 19, and we're going to look at one verse here, verse 14. Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. Take turn to chapter 27, Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse number 17. Deuteronomy 27:17. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, Amen. Now, Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. Look at verse number 28. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 28. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. And also Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 10. Just a page over, or maybe even the same page. Proverbs 23:10. Remove not the old landmark, and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. Now, we see here in the Bible four times the statement about not removing or not moving the landmark, or the ancient landmark. This is very interesting. We're going to apply it to the church tonight, and I believe it applies to the church. I believe it applies to your own personal Christian life. I believe it applies to your family. And if you'll let me tonight, I think I can help you. These landmarks were, we would use the word property lines. If you go out to the new church property, you'll see just to the left of the driveway, as you're going up the driveway, you'll see little stakes there with little pink markers on them or yellow markers on them. And that is because they went out and engineered and surveyed the land and set the landmarks there. They set the property line there. Does that make sense to everybody? In Bible days, they didn't have quite the technology that we have and the ability to map it exactly that way. So often what they would do is place giant boulders in a line as the property line. Maybe it was pieces of metal that they would dig down into the ground or whatever and put them there. They were not intended to move at all, but there were people that would intentionally start scooching those over a little at a time. They would go into a field at night and move it a couple inches, wait a couple days or weeks and go move another. Well, if you were up along a long field and you moved that a couple feet, you could get a lot more crop in using some of your neighbor's land as your land. And that's what people would do. And they would move those old landmarks. God said not to move the landmarks. Now, this is a great picture, though, of how the devil works in changing a church. You know, you're not going to go out there in the field and move it about 100 yards one night and the farmer not notice what's up. But over time, you could move it a little here, a little there, a little here, a little there, and get away with it. And the devil so often does that in churches. You know, most churches do not change in a bad direction overnight. It's just a little here, a little there, a little here, a little there. And the devil starts moving those landmarks a little at a time. By the way, this is what's happened to America. You know, America is in the shape she's in because of what started happening over 100 years ago. I'm going to make a statement here, and if you'll listen to me, not what somebody taught you in a public school, but the first, what we would call progressive president was Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt was the first president to start moving us towards what they called progressivism. That is a code word for socialism. The next big progressive president would have been Wilson during World War I. Then you had, of course, the big mover, FDR. Then you had the Kennedys, and you had Johnson. Yeah, I could see his face, but I couldn't think of his name. I was born under him. Johnson, and then, of course, in my generation, just about virtually everybody but Reagan, and even some of Reagan. You know, you compare Reagan to what was 200 years ago when he was a liberal. He was the most conservative of the last century, for sure. But Teddy Roosevelt was the first progressive president. Now, America has not moved all at once, and I'll come back to that in a moment. It's been slow change. It's been change that has taken over 100 years. Did you know 100 years ago that they would have never thought of sodomites marrying one another in America? Never. It would have never been there. Did you know that 100 years ago they would have never thought of taking the Bible out of schools, and that Christians in schools would be condemned for Christianity? Did you know up until the 1970s, I know they took the Bible out in the 60s, but did you know in the 1970s when I started in a public school, girls couldn't even wear pants and you couldn't even wear blue jeans to school? And that was the public schools. That wasn't the Christian schools. Now, Christian schools let the girls dress worse than the world did 40 years ago. Everybody doing all right? 100 years ago, communism, socialism, would have never been thought of to be brought into America. By the way, that's what we fought two world wars over. We fought a Korean War over it. We fought a Vietnam War over it. We fought many wars over communism and socialism. Now we have a couple of them running for president. And are very popular. Now, this happens to churches as well. We've seen the devil slowly but surely move the landmark a little at a time. And a little at a time. And a little at a time. And a little at a time. To the point where now, when you live biblically, you're so antiquated that even quote-unquote fundamental Christians look at you and say, oh, come on, it's time to live in the 21st century. I'm living in the 21st century, but I don't have to live like the 21st century.
Amen.
I know what the date on the calendar is, but it doesn't change right and wrong in the Word of God. And that's what we've got to realize. By the way, do you know when American churches started changing? 1901. When the Revised Version came out, which is the same year Teddy Roosevelt took the office of president. And as the churches declined, America began to decline. And they've been staying the same distance apart, but the problem is now the church is more worldly than the world was. Now, again, it happens over a long period of time. Tonight, I want to take the next maybe 30 minutes at most and teach you how to keep Grace Baptist Church from moving the landmarks. Folks, this is your landmark.
Amen.
It doesn't change. Amen. I am the Lord thy God. I change not.
Amen.
The Word of God does not change.
Amen.
And people don't realize it's the same book. I was studying today, and I was reminded of a conversation I had in my first church. I was in California working for a man, and he had changed, did not tell me. And when I got there, found out he had changed, and boy, we were in trouble. I know what battle my son's been through. Trust me. I went through it 26 years ago. I remember one day he said, Greg, I used to be like you. I used to preach standards. I used to preach this. I used to preach that. He said, but one day you're going to come to the reality of life. I shouldn't have done it, but he pushed the wrong button. He poked the bear. I stood up. I slammed my Bible on the desk. I said, that book doesn't change. You changed. I said, life doesn't change that book. That book changes life. That's where you and I differ. And that's when I started getting another job. literally. You have to understand, our landmark is this book right here. It's God. We're not to change it. We're to change us to match it. Now, let me help you tonight. I would like this church to last many generations. I don't want Grace Baptist Church just to last as long as I live. I'd like to see your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren, and on and on and on and on have the same kind of church we have today. I really would. It doesn't usually happen that way, and I'll tell you why, and I'll show you why here in a second. Number one, I think I'm going to give you five things tonight, but I'll go through them quickly. Number one, and please, this is not something comfortable for me, but it's something I've got to say. The pastor must be the overseer or shepherd of the church. Okay? The pastor must be the overseer or shepherd of the church. This church is not a dictatorship. I'm not a dictator. Dr. Anderson and I were talking as we came in from the airport on Saturday, and we were talking about the church. I said, Doc, I was an assistant pastor for 23 years. I said, I told God when it was time for me to pastor, God, I don't know that it's much different, but if you'll pastor the church, I'll just be your assistant pastor. He leaned over, grabbed my arm. He said, that's good. He said, that's good. He said, isn't it a shame is all you got? The only person you have to talk to is God. What a shame, isn't it? He said, isn't it a shame that you only have God to lean on? Isn't it a shame? Brother Bush, isn't it a shame that when you have a problem, the only person you can go to is God? What a shame, isn't it? He just grinning the whole time. I loved it. He said, it's amazing. You've caught it. He said, a lot of guys don't get it. He said, you're going to do okay. I said, I'm doing fine. I'm having fun. I said, I can't wait for you to see it. On the way back, he said, man, you got it going, man. Don't change it. I asked him. My wife's sitting in the car. I said, Doc, do you see anything that you think we ought to change? He said, I have no comment. Don't change anything. Amen. It's going. Don't change it. And that's what he was saying. Can I tell you something? If I die, choose a pastor. And by the way, I'm not planning on doing that anytime soon. But if I die, choose a pastor who will be an overseer and do it God's way. Don't get some suave dude in here that's going to impress you with his intellect. And get one of these guys that's a smooth talker that's going to teach you the word of God, and we're going to try new things. Kick him in the rear and don't let him in behind this pulpit. Right. I'm telling you. Get you an old-fashioned, loud-mouthed Baptist preacher. Somebody that's going to walk guard. My dear friend and pastor used to say it this way, Brother Hiles, there's got to be a mean old man walking guard at the top somewhere. Because if not, it's going to fall. And now, you choose somebody that's not going to bring in all the modern ways. Not just somebody that talks about the old ways, somebody that's actually living the old ways before you bring them here. Does that make sense? I'm not planning on going anywhere. I'm not planning on dying. Not planning on any of that. But if something does happen, you choose you an old-fashioned man of God. Somebody that's going to oversee the flock. That's what it's all about. Now, number two. Told you I was going to be quick on some of these. Number two, the church, the lay people, need to help police the church as well. Do you know it's partly your job to keep this church from changing? Did you know I can only be in one place at one time? If you were at the church, the old building on Monday morning, I had to be in six places at once. I heard one word for 2 hours. Preacher, 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 preacher. I mean, it was. I felt like a pinball in a pinball machine. It was stuck between the bumpers. Somebody would ask me a question. I'd answer it, go back, get another question answered. By the time I got back, somebody else started on the project, said, I didn't say do that. Oh, check with so-and-so. I mean, things were coming down, going back up. I mean, it was crazy. Wait a minute. I can only be in one place at one time. But let me say it this way. It's your job to let me know if you see something that isn't quite right. I'll pick on Brother Gus for a second here. If Brother Gus is teaching in Sunday school sometime and starts, and maybe he gets up and says that, you know, you got to repent to get saved, and by that means you got to be so sorry for your sin before you can ever get saved. Somebody ought to say, preacher, maybe I didn't hear Brother Gus right. By the way, he's not going to say that. I'm using the obvious to illustrate something here. But it's your job not to stand up and say, bless God, you're preaching bad doctrine. No. I didn't say it's your job to be the enforcer. It's your job to hear those things, and then come to me and say, preacher, maybe I didn't hear this right. One-on-one, nobody else listening, and let me check into it. I have no problem with that. Did you know there's sometimes, with all the talking I do, sometimes things don't come out of this mouth the way it went into the brain? I promise you. I've had to stand up behind this pulpit and correct myself several times. I didn't say something clear enough. Now, it made sense up here, but it didn't, when it came out here, it didn't make as much sense. And I'm not afraid to correct something, but I need us all to do it politely. Does that make sense? If you hear something that you don't think is quite right, come talk to me. We'll get it fixed. If you see something that's not quite right, come find me. Talk to me. We'll investigate it, and we'll go on. You see, it's every church person's responsibility to walk guard, to be a sentinel for your area that you work in. Sunday school teachers, walk guard around your Sunday school class. Do you know your students? Have you been in their homes? Have you met their families? You say, well, they're church kids. Yeah, they deserve visits too. I remember, my kids will tell you, some of the best Sunday school teachers they had were the ones that came to their house when I was in First Baptist in Indiana. There's a man that taught junior age kids, Bob Pearson. He was one of the most phenomenal Sunday school teachers for little boys. He would buy every boy in his Sunday school class a tape recorder. And the only thing they were allowed to play on it was Christian music and preaching tapes of Brother Hiles. He made the parents promise that's all they were allowed to do with it. I think my boys still have their tape recorders. They love Brother Pearson. They still remember him. Wait a minute. I was an assistant pastor of the world's largest church. Came to see my Sunday school boy. Can I come in, Brother Bush? Yes, sir. Man, I love that. It doesn't matter who they are. We ought to be visiting them. We ought to get to know them. It ought to be something that we do. Now, remember, you're not going to be the enforcer of it, but you can be the guard of it and say, preacher, I think you might want to check this out. Not sure something's quite right here. That helps me. Does that make sense to everybody? So that's one way we keep those landmarks from getting moved. Everybody walks guard in their area. By the way, that takes care of all the gossip and the clicks, too, just so you know. We ought not be running our mouth to each other. Well, did you hear what Ellen did? Yeah. After Dr. Anderson's here, it ought to be, did you hear what Mung did? He will never forget you. I promise you that. Oh, my soul. But we need to walk guard. We don't need to talk to each other about it. You don't need to go ask 10 friends whether you should come see me or not. Come see me. 10 friends ought not know what you saw. If it needs to be said, I'll say it. Make sense to everybody? Boy, I'm having fun there. Number 3. In order to keep those landmarks from getting moved or removed, we have to reproduce ourselves as much as possible. Did you know the best way to keep the landmark from moving was for somebody to have more people out there that knew where the landmarks were? So the more people we go out and win to Christ, bring to church, the less chance we have of this church changing the wrong direction. You see, we have a great commission to keep that's in that book. When we keep that great commission, we propagate the gospel generation after generation after generation after generation. Did you know that salvation and soul winning is not new to this generation? It's been going on for over 2,000 years. Can I tell you why? It's in the book, and we keep reproducing ourselves. That's what it's all about. We've got to keep after teaching generation after generation after generation to teach the following generations to teach the following generations. Did you know it's not just my job to teach my daughter what to do? It's my job to teach my daughter what to do and to teach her to teach the next generation and a teacher to teach the next generation to teach the following generation. That's the Great Commission. Just because you go out and win somebody to Christ, they get baptized downstairs in our new baptistry, and they come to church and join our church, you didn't finish the Great Commission. You don't finish the Great Commission till that person has been saved and baptized, goes out and wins somebody to Christ, brings them to church, gets them baptized, and teaches them to be a soul winner. That's the Great Commission. It's a lot farther. You young people, listen to me. As you get older, as you get into high school and get ready for college, most dangerous time, Thomas, most dangerous time of your life is right now, between leaving high school, going to college. Yes, sir. Can I tell you why? You want to coast. You don't hit college coasting. You better hit it with the pedal to the metal because it's going to hit you really hard, really fast. Teenagers want to coast in the summer. And they start coasting in the summer. They're not kept as busy as they need to be kept. And I'll tell you what happens, they get in trouble. They're used to a pretty rigorous schedule. And they need to be used to a rigorous schedule. They need to learn how to work. And there's nothing wrong with it. I think they ought to have fun. I was telling Brother Stoltz about an activity idea. I can't wait to try it out. Well, let me rephrase that. Can't wait to watch you all try it out. It's going to be a hoot. I'm telling you. I gave it to three other pastors, and one of them said, I'm sitting here with my youth director, and they're already designing plans for it right now as we speak. In other words, they're getting on it now because it's just one of those really cool ideas. I think it'll be fun. Now, wait a minute. You got to hit it with the pedal to the metal. You can't just expect to go to college and shazam, I'm here. Everything's going to be all right. Yeah, right. When the guppy hits the ocean, you become food. You better learn to swim fast because the fish in that ocean go a whole lot faster. You've got to keep teaching generation after generation after generation. Sometimes I repeat myself. Not because I'm getting old like Ellen. But we've constantly got more people coming in to where all this is brand new. Do you know sometimes I've got to teach on tithing, and I know some of you have heard it over and over and over and over again, but there are some people that don't even know what it means. You know, I've got to teach on soul winning because people don't know what it means. They're new, and they're learning, and they're growing. And by the way, we don't need modernism. We need the old-fashioned ways. We don't need to watch churches that seem to be more successful and they're using alternative methods. Just because a church has a large number of people there doesn't make it a good church in God's eyes. Amen. let me go to the next point and then I'll illustrate. Number four. We can't take a centrist position. We have to stand for right. We cannot take a centrist position. We have to stand for right. Did you know there's no wishy-washy in that? It's pretty cut and dry. It's black and white. God didn't say thou shalt not kill unless you're really mad. God didn't say thou shalt not kill unless it's your mother-in-law. God didn't say thou shalt not lie unless it's going to keep somebody from having their feelings hurt. God said thou shalt not lie. God said thou shalt not kill. Did you know you're not supposed to lie to your children in an effort to salve their conscience? No, you tell them the truth. say, well, it might hurt them. Yeah, welcome to life. They're not going to live their life without getting hurt. Might as well get used to it early in life. Amen. That's right, Ellen. Just smack her again. Did you know
the Bible doesn't change because culture changes?
Right.
Did you know the same God that wrote about standards in the Bible for those of us that live in this area, it works in California too?
That's right.
I hear people all the time, well, you just don't understand, in California it doesn't work. No, it doesn't work because you got a guy behind the pulpit that's got a rope for a backbone, afraid to preach it. He wants a big crowd instead of doing it right. Everybody doing all right? Okay, I'm having fun here. culture doesn't change. That book is supposed to change culture. Amen. Let me ask you a question. If culture is so right, why is America so wicked right now?
That's right. Amen. You got a point. That's
right. Well, we got to... I could give you the name of three Christian colleges right now on the wrong coast. Every one of them, they tell their preacher boys, don't go soul winning with a shirt and tie on. Wear a polo shirt and go out casual. You'll be able to talk to more people that way. Right. You'll scare them if you have a shirt and tie on. Three of them are, quote unquote, some of the larger colleges in America, Bible colleges, quote unquote. I wouldn't send my dog there. All three of those colleges, by the way, the pastors have told the girls when they go on ski activities and they go to the water parks, it's okay for them to wear their bikinis and girls wear their breeches. They've got big churches. They've got big schools. But they're not big with God. And why is California so stinking liberal? Maybe they'll have the big one and it'll fall into the Pacific Ocean.
Amen.
We could hope, amen? Then maybe we could hope D.C. would just that little part would go real fast, amen? Balance it out. Start over, amen? Now, wait a minute. As the world runs to the left, we need to stand firm on what's right. Brother Stoltz, come here for a moment. You're going to represent the world because you do it so well. Let's see here. Let's start over here. He represents the world. I represent the church. About 100 years ago, the world took a step. But the church took a step. And then the world took a step. And the church takes a step. And the world takes a step. And the church takes a step. Here's what's happened. The church and the world are as far apart as they always were. But the church keeps going to the left with the world. Here's what was supposed to happen. As the world changed, this is where we're supposed to be.
Amen.
That book didn't change while the world started going the wrong direction.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
But too many churches are just like this. Well, I'm the same distance from the world we always have been.
Thank you, Brother Stoltz. Did you know 50 years ago there was no such thing as a woman preacher? Now, God bless these folks. I'd have a hard time going to listen to some woman yell at me. I got married to one. She doesn't yell at me. Why should I listen to some other woman yell at me?
Amen.
Yeah. I don't mute it. I just change it to a man's. I changed my GPS to a man's voice because I didn't want a woman telling me what to do. And I'm not kidding. Oh, I just couldn't take it. Now, wait a minute. I'm not against taking instruction from a lady. I'm very capable of doing that. But may I say this? 50 years ago, there was no such thing as a woman preacher. Not at all. When Mary Baker Eddy came on the scene with the Christian Science cult back in the early 1900s, America was appalled. I mean, they were mortified. Only the worst of the worst followed them. That's why it was popular in Hollywood and still is. Ding. See, I just kind of slid that one in there, Brother June. That was pretty good, wasn't it? Can I tell you something? You don't have to try to be an extremist. You know, I don't try to be an extremist. But may I say this? When you stand on that book, the world has moved so far away from you, you will be an extremist.
Right.
You know, I don't try to be some weirdo. I do it naturally. You know, my stand today is no different than my stand 25 years ago, but it's harder to stand. I'll make a statement. 25 years ago, there were people that were standing with me that 25 years later, I'm now standing against. There are people who I looked up to, who I preached with, or who preached to me, who taught me, and now they have changed, and I didn't change, and they call me the extremist. They're the ones that changed. I didn't. I still believe what they taught because it was from there.
Amen.
Right.
Everybody doing all right? Now, wait a minute. That doesn't make me an extremist. It means they've moved that far. But some of the very people that I used to look up to, they now call me a radical, and I just don't want to get along with anybody. No, I don't mind getting along with anybody. I can shake hands. I've shaken hands in the last 7 days with people that hate my internal organs. And I mean, fought viciously against me. I have no problem with that. I'm not against them. But watch this. I'm not going to sit down and eat dinner with them.
Right.
Not going to just sit there and hold hands and sing Kumbaya.
Amen.
Got the whole world. Anyway, I'm not going to play that garbage. Nah, I'll be kind. But it doesn't mean I'm just going to sit there and, oh, wasn't this all warm and fuzzy? No, it wasn't warm and fuzzy, but I did it anyway. Now watch this. God, the Bible, and the Holy Spirit do not change.
Amen.
God is looking for people who do not change, who stand firm on the Word of God. The King James Bible does not change.
Amen.
We don't need to rewrite it. We just need to relive it. The Holy Spirit hasn't changed in 2,000 years. He's the same Holy Spirit. Did you know that soul winning hasn't changed in 2,000 years? Soul winning isn't you give money to bring some people in to go knock on doors for you. Soul winning isn't going and hanging things on doors. Now, I'm for getting the gospel out, however you get it out. I'm not preaching against that, but to call that soul winning is not soul winning. Soul winning isn't going door to door with a team of people with a pencil and a thing of paper, and you're taking a survey going door to door, and if they answer this question, or this question, we'll send another team out and we'll go back because those are the ones most apt to listen to the gospel. There's a biblical word for that: vomit. God said, go give them the gospel. Preach the gospel to every creature, not take a survey for every creature. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun now. And I must hurry. Number 5. We don't need to search for the truth. We already have the truth.
Amen.
If you hear some guy say, I have a new truth, turn him off real quick.
Amen.
Turn him off really quick. We don't need to search to see if the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? The King James Bible is the Word of God for the English-speaking people. I can go into the Greek and the Hebrew, and I can go into the Texas Receptus, the Masoretic text. I can get into all the other texts that you want, the Latin Vulgate and all those others, and show you where these are perverted. This is the right one. If you want to go into the Alexandrian text, if you want to go into all those things, I can sit there and work with you for hours on it. But you're going to come out with the same conclusion all along. The King James Bible is the Word of God.
Amen.
Period. If the others are so good, why do they have to keep changing them?
That's right.
Now, wait a minute. I don't need to search the truth. I just simply need to proclaim the truth.
That's right.
People who are wishy-washy on the Bible are the churches that are becoming moving and moving and moving and moving. Oh, we believe in the Bible. We believe that the King James Bible is the best translation. in the words of the famous TV show of the 70s, Danger Will Robinson. Help us.
Amen.
It's not the best translation. It is the word
Amen.
Of God.
Amen.
Period. End of discussion.
Yes, sir.
Truth, listen to this, is absolute. Our world hates absolutes.
That's right.
That's right.
The first premise of communism, first premise of socialism is there are no absolutes. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. When absolutes stop, growth stops. People say, oh, rules, rules, rules. I just hate all those rules. No, when you don't have rules, growth stops. Anarchy begins. War begins.
Yes, sir.
And I know what I'm talking about here. Can I tell you something? Truth is the most important thing. The world hates God because the world hates truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Man wants to be his own God, so man does not want absolutes or truth. Man can't handle truth because if he handles truth, he has to admit he needs a Savior. Period. And man from the first sin wanted to be his own God. By the way, that's why all of your other religions aren't based on truth. Religion not based on the Bible as absolutes has changed as society changes. That's why the world's churches are as worldly as they are. Hang on. I'm going to say something, and you might not like it. We've replaced preaching with teaching.
There you go.
That's right.
I'm for good biblical teaching. Trust me. But preaching is loud, passionate teaching.
Yes, sir.
Preaching's got a little bit more punch to it.
Amen.
If the preacher can't work up a lather while he's preaching, something's not quite right.
That's right.
I was listening to some pussyfooter one day, and he said, I'm going to preach hard today. I thought, boy, this ought to be good. I thought, I'm driving for an hour. This is going to last 20 minutes. This ought to be entertaining, Brother June. After 20 minutes, I thought, when's the guy going to preach? I got ladies that teach Sunday school. It's got more oomph than this. Then he got up after 20 minutes and apologized for preaching so hard. And I thought, when did you start? Well, I said some pretty harsh things. I said, when? Good night. I don't do that good on a kind sermon. They don't know what it is. We've brought the world's music into the church.
Yes, sir.
Right.
And I'm just going to go ahead and say it. The honky-tonk music shouldn't be in our church.
Amen.
Right. Yes, the contemporary music ought not be in our churches.
Amen.
Period. The sliding and the breathy, sensual type singing shouldn't be in our churches. That is not gospel music. I don't care what the words are. I don't care how classic behind the scenes and all the orchestration behind it there is. Everybody doing all right? If you can't hang on to the note, practice. If you got to slide up to it, you got to slide down to it. And I don't want you to do this, but those of you that got more gray hair than I do know what I'm talking about. When the Beatles landed, they looked more like Christians than the average Christian contemporary group of today.
That's right.
And America was appalled at the haircuts of the Beatles. I mean appalled.
Yep.
Now, you could listen to them in the average church and they would be calm. That was the original rock and roll.
Yep, sure was.
Everybody doing okay? Did you know that church isn't supposed to be a drama place?
Amen.
We're going to replace preaching next week with drama. Uh-uh. They're going to drag my body out in a box before that happens. And I'll be clawing at the box when they do if it happens. Did you? Well, I heard somebody say, well, they just don't have enough parties at that church for me. Show me in the Bible where it says, go out and have a party at church. Help us. Yeah, she's the party animal. She brings the party to church. Now, wait a minute. Did you know that the average church is nothing more than a VFW or a social club? Yeah, Moose Lodge or Heifer Lodge or Cow Lodge or whatever it is, Lodge. When we stop absolutes, growth stops because truth gives life, and not having truth, having no truth means death. If truth gives life, lack of truth brings death. Huh. So what happens?
When we start getting away from the truth, we start nudging that landmark over. We nudge it a little more. And we nudge it a little bit more. I believe in rules. Can I tell you why? They keep us in line with the truth.
Amen.
I think we ought to live right. Young people, think you ought to quit complaining about the rules and follow the rules.
Amen.
People don't have rules because they hate you. They have rules to protect you.
Amen.
When the stop sign says stop, stop. When it's not your turn to go, don't go. Can I tell you why? It's meant to protect everybody, not just your carcass. Because you pull out in front of somebody and they crash into you, it's your fault. And the law was there to protect everybody, not just the other person. Everybody doing all right? I'm trying to teach you something, Julian. If you watch your mother drive, I've got to help you all I can. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Young people, listen to me. Us older people have been down this road a little bit, do know what we're talking about. And parents, listen to me. You're not real bright letting your kids have internet and telephones unregulated.
Amen.
My daughter, my two sons did not have them until they were graduated from high school and paid for them themselves. And even then, it was pretty stringent. Brother Anderson looked at me and he said, Pastor, you are so wise. I said, no, sir. I'm just too dumb to keep up with technology, and it's the only way to control it. He said, no, that's wisdom. I do know what I'm talking about in this realm, I promise you. You don't know how much trouble one of those is to a young person.
Amen.
How tempting. They have access to more filth than you've ever had in your entire life, and they carry it around their pocket everywhere they go. I never thought I'd ever say this. Can I tell you what put Playboy out of business? Cell phone. People can get it for free on their cell phone. Go do your homework. The number one visited sites in America are porn sites. And your kids have access to it. The push of a button. Pink. Well, my kids wouldn't do that. You need a shovel to dig your head out of the dirt on that one. Let's not let the devil move the landmark at Grace Baptist Church. Let's hold true to it. Let's not let the devil move the landmark in our family. Let's hold true to it. Let's not let the devil move the landmark in our own personal Christian life. Let's hold to it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I hope that 50, 60, 70 years from now, if the Lord tarries, Grace Baptist Church is preaching the same way we preach tonight. Same music, same standards, same Bible, same everything. Let's not remove the landmark.